But first up today, a new take on Grover's Corners and Thornton Wilder's classic play, Our Town. Award-winning director David Cromer has a new vision for the play, which opens September 5th at the Kansas City Rep. And trust us, this is not the version of Our Town that your parents saw. The Wall Street Journal called it very different, with the letters of very all capitalized, adding, "You'll never see a better Our Town or anything else as long as you live." David Cromer is a MacArthur Genius Fellow, and he was at the Rep a few years ago directing The Glass Menagerie in a production that won all manner of raves. And David, congratulations, and so good to have you here.
Thank you very much. Welcome. It's great to be here.
You bet. So the Wall Street Journal raved about this play and raved about how different it was. How is it different?
Wow. I guess it's sort of overly coy to suggest that I don't know. You know, like I could say, "What? I don't know. We were just trying to do it, man." we did do. When I say we, I'm referring to myself and the original design team, who almost all of whom have stayed with the show and are here in Kansas City, friends and colleagues of mine, and we were just planning the production.
Yeah.
You know, you get assigned to do a show and by a theater. You know, a theater asks you to do a show, and you meet with your team, and you just start to hash out how it's going to fit into the space you're in, what it's going to look like, what it's going to sound like. And we started to think about the fact that in 1938, when the play opened, it was for Broadway, it was kind of avant-garde. The first line of the script is "No curtain, no scenery," and it was probably a little strange to walk into a Broadway theater in 1938 and see a big empty stage. You traditionally go in there, you see it's going to be a living room, or it's going to be a street, or it's going to be, you know, a nightclub or whatever. And so it was that. And then this ordinary man wanders into the middle of the stage and starts talking to the audience. Said this play is called Our Town. It was written by Thornton Wilder, produced and directed by Jed Harris. And in it, you'll see blah blah blah. So it was kind of just strange. It was just off-putting. It was a little strange.
Shattering
the third wall immediately, doing all that sort of stuff. I think I had read that Thornton Wilder had just experienced some Pirandello, you know, in Europe, and it had all these. And it breaks the fourth wall constantly. Jumps ahead in time, goes backwards in time, gets kind of existential at one point. I think there's a review. I've got to find this because I keep quoting it. I believe something was said in the 30s, something like, "Well, this play is just the last word in experimental theater," you know?
This is it.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and then the question is, we don't think of it that way. So why don't we think of it that way? So, and I'm struggling towards answering your question, Steve, I promise you.
You're dodging it pretty well.
No. Yeah. It's what Thornton Wilder does. You ask him a question, he starts very far away. He comes all the way around the world, but he eventually arrives home.
Yeah.
So we were trying to figure out, and one of the things we thought is because of the play, because it's done in every high school, because everybody's read it, because it's one of the three or four American plays they choose between that you have to read in high school, community theaters, everyone's, you know, seen it and done it. Those innovations that he had, that sort of no props, mime, no scenery, all that sort of stuff has become such a part of theater vocabulary, we're just used to it. The most sort of unadventurous theater goer in the world will still go someplace and see someone mime something, or see someone break the fourth wall, or see a flashback, or see something strange, or see the dead speak, and they won't think anything of it.
Yeah,
because they're used to it, and they're used to it because of Our Town. So we just tried to make. I'm very, very, very interested in obeying the law, so to speak, is like paying attention to the text. I don't cut lines. I try not to, you know, I don't cut lines. I don't.
In fact, didn't you have to get permission to change a couple things?
You do in any situation. Yeah. You do in any situation. And certainly because when we moved the show to New York, I'll jump right to the examples. What we're doing is in the play. A traditional production of Our Town has no scenery, no curtain. However, it really does have a set. It has the set of a fake empty theater. It has lights all over it. There's lights come up and down and up and down. Everybody comes out in costumes, in period costumes from you know, 1901, and they speak with these New England accents. So it's his efforts to kind of make it a little less artificial are still artificial. Mm-hmm. So we just thought, could we do what he wrote? Could we say, could we strip it of artifice? We thought he was trying to strip the play of artifice. Could we strip it of artifice in a slightly different way, which would just allow the audience to that it wasn't vocabulary and word, that they were a little bit off-put again mm-hmm. in 2009 or 2008 when we first did
As they were back in
1938. As they were in 38. So that mm-hmm. was the goal. That led to – this is how I'm answering your question, believe it or not.
You're doing great.
That led eventually to a bunch of choices that guided the production in a way that just – it sounded different to everyone's ear. It was the spirit of the law as written. Mm-hmm. It was every word of the text as we understood it. And this was over the course of Chicago, the two productions in Chicago, and then eventually landing in New York. So it evolved, and it was just, you know, this is dumb. This is something you say in when you teach acting, when you're an old acting teacher like I am, or was. You say at one point, you know, the root of the word rehearsal is to rehear. You know, you're rehearing it. You're doing it over and over again, so it's repetition. But to rehear it means, are you hearing it differently? Do you hear it different this time? Does mm-hmm. it sound different? Does the same thing, can you find more in the same thing? And we do that with everything. We do that with books we reread.
Right.
We do that with movies we watch over right. and over again. So we just luckily made a few choices, the design team and I, that led the production in a way, and people have responded very favorably to it. The one thing I say that I think is different is I think there is one slight misinterpretation of the play that it became kind of pervasive, just a little bit due to laziness on the part of practitioners,
right.
and believe it, which is that the play advocates small town life over any other kind of life, or is making the statement things were simpler then. I think the point of the play is quite the opposite, which is in the very simplest circumstances, things are always incredibly complicated in human existence.
Yeah.
And then that's what it was. So hopefully we just kind of unleashed that again.
You're regarded as this cutting-edge guy in New York. You've got this terrific reputation for the work you're doing these days. Why go back and revive an old chestnut like Our Town? Why was that the choice instead of something very different?
I was never a new plays guy. There's nothing cutting edge about it. I mean, I ended up getting some praise and some recognition for things like Our Town, mm-hmm. which was to do plays again that people had seen and thought they knew, and that they just heard them again.
That's where the cutting edge comes in.
Well, let me tell you this. This is just a choice. I have a weird example of this, and hopefully it won't be. I was thinking about this the other day. I'm going to forget this person's name. This is embarrassing. Oh, Angela. Angela Wendt mm-hmm. is a costume designer.
Mm-hmm.
Angela Wendt designed the original production of Rent. So Michael Greif was a great, great, great director. Angela Wendt, who was a brilliant costume designer. Anthony Rapp, who's a wonderful actor and originated the role of Mark. Jonathan Larson, who wrote Rent. Somehow, somewhere in the course of all of those artists creating that production originally, created the role of Mark Cohen in Rent. And Mark Cohen in Rent is a thin, spiky blonde-haired guy with little round glasses, a bumblebee sweater, and a striped scarf, right? That's Mark and Rent. And it was based – and I have no insight into what the collaboration was, but I know from experience the collaboration of something like that can come from any combination of the costume designer, the actor, the director, and the author. And who else knows? But they created this wonderful, specific, idiosyncratic, iconic figure, Mark Cohen and Rent, as played by Anthony Rapp. Now – it is behooves them when they recreate the production, for the national tour. Mm-hmm. When people replace him, they didn't redesign it. Everyone always plays that. That's great because that is the Michael Greif, Jonathan Larson, Angela Wendt, Anthony Rapp version of that role. But if you go and look around at other theaters that aren't designed by Angela Wendt and that aren't directed by Michael Greif, why is Mark still dressed like that?
Hmm.
And then why is Mark wearing a striped sweater they got at the Gap, which would not be where Mark Cohn would shop? And I know this seems like an odd choice, but I was thinking about this the other day. So why are they? Why is someone sort of slavishly mm-hmm. Copy says Mark can only be a blonde guy from wearing a bumblebee sweater and little round glasses. There's no reference to his sweater. There's no reference to his glasses. If you are going to do Rent, I say, you say Mark Cohen is a Jewish film student, former film student, young, starving filmmaker from Long Island, who is freezing to death and starving to death and not answering his mother's phone calls. Now, that can be a lot of things. Mm-hmm. So if you just go mm-hmm. back to the basics of what the text is, you reopen possibilities for yourself. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
So all I ever, I can't remember. Someone must have, I make no claim to any originality. Someone must have said this to me. I can't remember who. I owe them a lot of money. But, you know, you just go back to what it says instead of what somebody's already done. And it's not being aggressively iconoclastic. It's not changing something for the sake of changing it. It's sort of the opposite of that. It's sort of going back to what the intention was as opposed to just necessarily building on what was before. So if I did, so I, and so I, honestly, I do revivals half the time
mm-hmm.
just because they're mm-hmm. plays I love because I'm too lazy to read. Too lazy to read anything new. That's what it is. I got a book called 16 Famous American Plays, which our town is in, and I've been working my way through it for 25 years.
David Cromer is our guest. He's the director of Our Town, opening at the Rep on September 5th. More information on our website, kcur.org. You know, Charles Fugate, who plays Editor Webb, said this about you. I was asking him about you the other day. He said he brings us to an immediacy in the telling of the story. Nothing is treated as a foregone conclusion or piece of sentimental nostalgia from a decades-old play we've all seen and read. He insists it be a real, relevant human drama. So you view this play as obviously as relevant today as it was when it came out in 38.
It's relevant because to the people in the play, they are like we all are, trapped immediately in the present. We are here. You might be thinking about a million other things. I might be thinking about a million other things. I might want to be on forever. I might want to leave. I might
don't
have, you know
yet.
What I mean? No. But I'm saying like we are trapped in the present. And we can only be right here. And whether we're exploring it or not, we can only be right here. I have no idea what's going to happen next. And I certainly don't know whether I'm going to, you know, get hit by a car when I walk out the door or something. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't know
yeah.
what's going to happen next. I don't know whether I'll make a fool of myself on the air. So I'm trapped here. Nothing's more relevant to me than that.
Mm-hmm.
The difference between plays and real life is the play is written down, so we all know what's going to happen. So I know when your line is over and I know it's my turn to talk. It is our job while rehearsing a play to try to create the illusion that we don't know what that is. So we have to be trapped in the – you know, you hear actors mm-hmm. – there's all these – it's like Our Town. There's all these things you've heard so many times they lose their meaning. Be in the moment. Have you ever heard that?
Sure,
some
of course.
Actors say, I want to be in the moment. It's like today's the first day of the rest of your life. It's these things that lose their meaning. But if you say them slowly, if you think about them, if you think very hard about, I'm here at breakfast with you, you know, and there's a scene in the play with Charles Fugate. He's sitting with George, and he does not want to talk to George, and it says long pause, long awkward pause, I think is what it says in the script. And they're just trapped. They can't make faces during the pause and think, I'll wait, count to 10, and then end the pause. They've got to say – they've got to be panicking in their brains going, is somebody going to say something? Is somebody going to say something? That – panic will be felt by the actor. It's very truthful. It'll be felt by the audience. So it's just, it's like the costume. It's like, why put him in a bumblebee sweater? That isn't our choice. Our choice is, what is this guy, what is this broken-hearted little Jewish guy going to do today? You know, talking about Mark from Rent.
How do you get your actors to walk with you in that down that road of being in the moment? How do you get them there? Because that can't – I know they're very skilled people, but how do you get them there, David?
Well, I mean, it's hard because it is always artificial. We are always saying like you know, it's like anything. It's like you have to know what you're doing, but you can't know what you're doing. I know exactly what's next, but I have to forget. It's one of the strange things about any kind of performing, which is you can only be where you are. Oh, I'd never have trouble getting people there. They seem to like it. I'll tell you exactly how. I used to teach directing. I'll tell you my trick. I used to teach directing, and what my students would do is they'd sort of have a scene, and they'd have some actors, and they'd go off in rehearsal periods off out of class, and they'd work with the actors, and they'd come back to class, and we'd all talk about their rehearsals, and every three or four times a semester, one of the directing students would say, "How do you get an actor? I'm trying to get them to really like." I'm trying to get, you know, John to be so offended when she says that to him that he just loses his temper. How do you get an actor to do that? And I very pompously said, "Did you try asking him?" You know, and there's I'm sure there's tricks, but the tricks are no good. You just ask. You say, "Here's what we're trying to do." You try to explain it the way I explained it to you. And the reality is, good actors understand it and want to do it. It's not always expected of them. It's not always asked of them.
Charles Fugate says this of you. He asks for an unfussy, not very actory approach with this, where he lulls us as actors into feeling that we're just watching life instead of a scripted play. He called that, he says, it's kind of remarkable.
Well, I think we all have a tendency, and I have a tendency too, to feel the need to entertain, and to feel the need to show what's happening. I started to really care about this sort of approach because So two things happened. I was working on a play called "Come Back, Little Sheba" in Chicago in 2004. And one of my favorite actors in Chicago, a man named John Judd, who I've worked with a dozen times or more, was playing Doc Delaney in "Come Back, Little Sheep." And the first 5 minutes of the play is him alone coming downstairs into his kitchen to make breakfast the way he does every morning.
Yeah.
And we had a stove, and we, you know, and he had to make coffee and heat up some rolls for he and his wife, who was going to come down later. And we ended up working on that scene forever and forever and forever because we both started to realize it looks like I'm acting like I'm. He was like, I feel like I'm acting like I'm making breakfast.
Mm-hmm. So
we have to make breakfast. You have to. And he'd catch himself whistling. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, you're like, stop. You're like, stop. Like, uh-huh. And so it was embracing that you could. If you really made breakfast and you really said to the audience, he's not going to dance for you. He's just making breakfast. They might be interested. And that was led to the approach to other things. It was just an articulation of something that I think I valued. And it certainly led to Our Town. Now, one of the things Our Town says in the first act is called The Daily Life. And the second act is called Love and Marriage. Mm-hmm. And then the line is, there's another act coming after this. I reckon you can guess what that's about. So if it was going to be The Daily Life, it was going to be ordinary, if it was going to be something they do every day, it had to have the same principles. We had to stop acting like we were doing something and just try to find a way to do it.
And people listening to this are thinking, oh, that can't be hard. That's very difficult to do, though, as you're pointing out. That's not easy.
I think Sanford Meisner, I'm going to misquote it. Sanford Meisner is a member of the group theater and a very, very famous acting teacher, said acting's very simple. It's just very hard to – it's very simple. It's just very difficult to do.
Like so many things.
Yeah.
So many things.
And so – right. So that's just an ideal. It's like deciding to be in the moment or deciding to be present or deciding to be attentive to someone. Well, I should be considerate today. I should just make sure I listen to everybody or anything that seems very logical. I should be my brother's keeper. I should – you know, mm-hmm. All these things are very logical. It is very simple. That's the problem – the problem. It's not a problem. But the strange thing, the thing I get self-conscious about is when people say, okay, you've done this very innovative thing. And you say, we didn't do anything. We never set out to do anything innovative. And we just tried to be very, very simple.
Mm-hmm.
And that people seem to respond to that. I think the thing I was saying at the beginning of this is I'm hyper aware of trying to be entertaining. Listen to how fast I'm talking. I'm just spewing words. I'm like a monkey with a typewriter. Eventually, I'll form a sentence. You know, in radio, if there's a silence,
look out.
We'll look out. We're going to freak out.
There they go.
But in real life, sometimes it just happens. You know, and sometimes someone doesn't know what to say and stuff. So it's just. It's a way to get closer to – if this is our art form, this is our art form. It's figuring out what are the dynamics of ordinary behavior.
I love this. A reporter once said of you, David Cromer, that you can locate human qualities in a head of cabbage. And I'm wondering what qualities you found in that head of cabbage.
Oh, boy, that head of cabbage had a lot of problems.
Remember that quote?
Yeah.
Oh, somebody – the TV reporter guy said it. What was he talking about? Finding human qualities in a head of cabbage.
Do you know what show it was about?
No, I didn't. I didn't write all that down.
I guess I hardly say. I think
what
it's,
does that mean?
I think it's along the same lines. I think it is. I got interested in, and luckily, John Judd's a good example. A group of actors who I worked with a lot: Natasha Lowe, John Judd, Annabelle Armour. Were actors in Chicago who I worked with a lot, Scott Parkinson, who I worked with a lot in my sort of formative years in Chicago and still work with as much as possible.
Yeah.
We all kind of got interested in really exploring just that, which is like what's going on while you're making breakfast Okay. I have a better answer than this. So you can edit that part out, right?
I wish we could.
I know. Let me tell you something. Another wonderful actor, an actor in Chicago named Hannah Dworkin, who I've worked with a couple of times. Hannah Dworkin's father is a doctor. And he once said that one of the things they say to you in medical school is, if you hear hoofbeats, don't think zebra. Meaning, if a guy's got a cough and sniffles, don't think, you know, he probably has an exotic airborne infection from the, like, I did some research. I mean, you know, you don't get credit for being house.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He's probably got a cold.
Yeah.
So, you know, don't be so damn clever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You hear hoofbeats. The director goes, "There's hoofbeats." What if a zebra comes on? You know what? It's probably a horse. Now that's not boring. A horse is interesting too. Find what's interesting about the horse.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be unsatisfied with the fact that it's probably it's a horse. Horses are boring. Horses aren't boring.
Right.
Just because, you know what I mean? If you think about a horse, you're going to find out it's fascinating. I think
you're going back to what you were saying a while ago. You're trying to find a way to live in the moment with what we are all about right now.
Right. Because
that's where you are.
Mm-hmm. Because every little boring moment you and I are both stuck in our morning getting at what we're going to do when we're, you know what I mean? It's really interesting to us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, rather than bore everyone with, you know, a blog all day and tell everyone what I think, I can't believe I said blog. That's not even a new word, is it?
No,
that's
not anymore. Word. It's not. Yeah.
No, you know what I mean. What am I trying to say? The ideal experience for an audience, I think, is to not feel so alone. Is to see. Recognizable internal, to see a manifestation of their private issues. That's the satisfying experience for an audience.
Right up there on stage. Yeah.
That they see that and they go, oh, that, I connect to that. I know what that means. I know what that is. I thought I was the only one who thought that.
Mm-hmm.
That's the goal. And so you have to. You know, attention must be paid to every detail, I guess, mm-hmm. would be the means towards that. So, I mean, I think that critic was being kind about saying that it seemed like we paid attention to details. And
mm-hmm.
I don't mean the royal we again. I just mean the design team or the actors and I.
To what extent at this point in your career, David, do you take suggestions, comments from your actors? How much of it in a David Cromer production is a collaborative kind of experience versus something that maybe wouldn't be?
Well, that's a really interesting question. As much as possible, I think there's a period with new actors where I want to make sure I know I have a way of thinking about this that will sound like I'm asking them to be boring or sound like I'm asking them to do less, but is actually hopefully just asking them to dig in a little harder.
Mm-hmm.
I try not to know to be too planned out because you do have to there's even the most complicated writing, even the most dense and complex and full writing is only words. The minute it goes into somebody's mouth, it's going to be funneled impulsively through that actor's experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's no way for them to – they can try to choose what they want to choose as carefully as possible. They can try to make every choice and control everything they do as an actor. But something's going to arrive going to come through them impulsively.
Mm-hmm.
If you see them in a scene, if someone's playing a child and they lean more towards the father or the mother, that might mean that actor – likes their father more than their mother. That's oversimplified.
Right. I
but
get it.
They'll do it without realizing it. The biggest part of the collaboration, or one big part of the collaboration, is to try desperately to recognize that, to pay attention, that I pay attention and notice that and say, you feel like you're sitting closer to dad. Does that mean your character? You know what I mean? So the other day you were sitting closer to dad. Does that do us any good? Are you siding more with dad here? And they might say, yeah, I guess I am. So then you do that. Then the other thing is, I absolutely want to hear what they think and what they planned. You know, I let the actors do it a couple of times first before I start. I hope. Maybe I don't. It's different every day. Can you edit this answer out? You can't.
But you're making it go every day.
Every day is a new day.
And you're bringing new stuff to it every day, and off you go.
And people are different. Some actors come in with a very strong feeling about something, and you collaborate with them on that. Some actors come in with nothing.
Yeah.
Sometimes they come in with nothing because they're unprepared. Sometimes I come in with nothing because I'm unprepared. If we all forgive each other for these lapses, then we can get work done. You know.
Well, Our Town opens up at the Rep September 5th. It runs through September 28th. It runs at the Spencer Theater. There'll be more information about David's approach to the play. You can catch our interview with Steve Walker, KCUR Steve Walker, on Friday, September 5th, as part of his Director's Cut series. And David, what a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Are you ready to go on September 5th?
Yeah. We were going to be ready to go. I mean, everyone is working their
Yeah, Patootie's.
Yes. Everyone is working very, 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 very hard. Yeah, it's a great company. It's a really great company. And it's interesting, the show's changing with the new cast. You know, it's a reproduction of the production that exists, but every day it's getting sort of different because it has all these different artists in it.
All the best. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much for having me.
Again, that's David Cromer. He's directing Our Town at the Rep. Time for a break. When we come back, we'll talk about Kansas City's microloan program and how it's making a huge difference for mom-and-pop operations around town. I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR.